This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
You need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
This Day in History is back with you, part of lineupmedia.fm. Check us out at thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. Like us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. My name's Tony Hubert, Armand Kachigian, my co-host, January 26th, as we dive into the events that occurred, who was born, who died, and which event, if any, affects the world we live in today the most. And Armand, I have one event that fits that profile today.
Yeah, well, you're one lucky. And only. I couldn't find any. Yeah.
Well, I found one. You probably don't partake in this, so you probably glossed right over it.
Probably.
But for millions of other people, actually billions, pretty big event happened on this day.
All right, let's get to it then.
All right.
I was just going to do
I'm gonna tell you what it's
sheer numbers here.
Tell you what it's not.
All right.
South America.
The first one you have down here, I was just looking it up because okay, go ahead and say it.
Well, it's Vicente Yanez Pinzon. He becomes the first European to set foot on what is now known as Brazil.
See, now the answer to the trivia question, who discovered Brazil, and I just looked it up, Pedro Alvarez Cabral for Portugal.
Yeah.
But apparently this is in April of 1500. I don't know where this guy came from, but since it's January 26th.
January 26th.
He beat him by a few months, but that I've never heard that.
Well, he sets foot.
Yeah, what the hell does that mean?
Well, he touched the beach.
Well, that would...
Then he may have ran back to the ship, for all we know.
That, to me...
Like a game of tag.
He discovered it, right?
But did you discover something if you don't know what the hell it is?
I don't know. I think we're... Who decides this shit?
Exactly.
I mean, like the what was it? Columbus
who
the
decides?
First saw a manatee or something.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Factoid
exactly.
You gratuitously put in the and wasted our
who
time.
Who decides?
With?
The winners write history, Armand.
The Republicans. That's who. Donald Trump. That's who decides.
No, he's rewriting a lot of stuff right now. 1564,
right.
The Council of Trent, they establish an official distinction between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism.
Yeah,
like
that's a good idea.
Like that needed to be?
Yeah.
I think we had a pretty clear line of demarcation.
I think I know the difference, yeah.
You know, 1699, the first time ever the Ottoman Empire will permanently cede territories to Christian powers.
That's a bad move.
That's a big one,
you
too.
You start that shit, and you ask Israel, you know, you just can't give this stuff away. When you take it, you keep it.
Keep it.
That's right. And then you put settlements on it.
Well, that's one
and
way.
If they fire rockets at you, you nuke them. There you go.
Wow.
Middle East problem
solved.
Did
you have your coffee yet this morning?
I'm ready to go today.
Boy, oh, boy.
I had a couple of bouts of sex last night.
Oh,
I'm geared
the,
up.
The
yeah.
blood is flowing.
Yeah.
Look at
right.
you.
Let's go.
You're flush with color. You look like you're ready to take on the world.
Yes, I have the sheen of post-coital ecstasy.
1837, Michigan is admitted as the 26th U.S. state.
Wolverine state.
Yeah, the Wolverines. And the UP as well. Everyone forgets about that. But half,
I don't want to go up there.
Why not? They say it's beautiful. I've never been up there, Armand, but
I heard. Like Detroit. It's nice and dirty.
Well, it's your kind of place.
Stay in the mitten where
you probably like Greek town in Detroit, don't you?
I love squalor.
Yeah, okay. Good. Good for you. 1838, Tennessee enacts the first prohibition law in the United States.
Something else can get out
what
of hand.
What the hell? Tennessee is always trying to do something. You got Jack Daniels there. If you go on the Jack Daniels tour, you're in a dry county. You can't drink it.
Never
What's
mind
the
prohibition.
Point?
Get rid of this drug war. We keep just wasting all our time.
You know how much
resources.
Meth is probably cranked out in those hills of Tennessee? It's the new moonshine, Armand. I'm telling you.
Stop fighting it. Just let the people
take
exactly. it.
Exactly. 1841, James Brenner takes formal possession of Hong Kong Island. at what's now known as Possession Point, establishing British Hong Kong. 1841.
Okay.
Yeah.
With Kowloon Island and all that stuff.
Well, there's Kowloon side and what, Victoria side?
Was the Queen Mary still there? The wreck of it or whatever the hell? Or was it?
I thought it was QE1 is in the.
One of them's in the. Yeah,
is in the harbor.
Yeah, Queen Mary's in obviously.
That's
LA.
In Long Beach.
Long Beach.
It's Queen Elizabeth I.
Yeah.
Is in Hong Kong Harbor.
I guess,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've never been
Remember
there.
The James Bond movie where they meet up on it?
It was.
And everything, everything's
Man
tilted.
With Golden Gun.
There it is. Oh, that was that's a good Bond film.
Scaramanga. Christopher Lee.
Oh, man, that's some good
stuff.
And
Hervé Villechaize as...
Deplane! Deplane!
Yeah, well,
I know he didn't, but Fantasy Island.
He was Knick-Knack. Knick-Knack.
Hervé Villechaize.
And Britt Eklund. Oh.
No, I know.
I may have sex with myself.
Give me a second. Oh, 1861 in the American Civil War, the state of Louisiana. They secede from the Union on this date.
Here. Good for Louisiana.
We'll come back to the Civil War a bit later.
The Pelican State.
Yeah, their minor league team used to be called the New Orleans Pelicans for baseball.
That makes sense.
So when the NBA moved there, the Charlotte Hornets moved there, they were still the New Orleans Hornets.
Yeah.
And they only a couple years ago changed it over to Pelicans.
Good.
To go with the more...
Makes sense.
But it's a weird name for a basketball team. I thought for a baseball team it always...
Sportsman's Paradise, remember?
Sportsman's Paradise. That's what's on the license plate,
that's
right?
Correct.
It is a beautiful state.
That was on the license plate that Richard Dreyfuss took out of the Sharks.
Oh, he brings it out of the Shark and jumps.
See,
it came up through the Gulf Stream.
Came up from the Gulf, Very slow digestive system.
Yeah, like anything's going to digest a license plate. 1870, Reconstruction era. Now, this I did not know. Virginia rejoins the Union in 1870, five years after.
They may have been the last to rejoin. I don't know. No, Georgia. We already went over this. Georgia was the last. 1871, I believe.
How did you go about officially rejoining? Did you have to have ratification by your states?
No, it wasn't up to the state. It was up to the feds.
To the feds.
Yeah.
They say, we're going to allow you back in.
Yeah.
For 5 years after the war, if you looked across the Potomac River.
They occupied. Yeah, it was like our occupation of Japan, which we'll get to today.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's fascinating, right. It's disgusting.
Okay.
1808, you forgot, the Rum Rebellion in New South Wales.
Oh, New South Wales.
We had our old
Down
friend,
in Australia.
Our old friend Bly, William Bly.
Oh,
this guy
Captain
just can't
Bly.
Get a break.
Well, he had the bread plants. That didn't work out very well.
Yeah, the breadfruit, Anyway, they took him over the bounty, and now they had a rebellion down there. And it wasn't about rum, apparently. He had a quarrel with this guy named MacArthur. And again, it was the government. Basically, is the government going to keep New South Wales as a prison colony, or is there going to be allowed some private enterprise?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the side of private enterprise.
Well, and
anyway,
that's what prisons are today, private enterprise.
They overthrew him. They got rid of him again. But then he came back and they took it over again.
Now, speaking of Bly, do you ever think Fletcher Christian did set foot back in England, like the myth says?
Yeah, man, it's maybe set foot in Brazil and discovered.
Yeah, maybe. Well, no, that's after the fact.
Nah,
I got to believe he never got off Pitcairn Island,
yeah, good
right?
luck getting off Pitcairn Island,
But hey, that had to be
that's
the life.
One isolated
Can you imagine
place?
Showing up from gloomy, dreary old England into Tahiti?
I don't know. I'd rather be in England.
Why?
Why? Because it's civilization. I don't want to eat coconuts.
Did you see the women in the canoes rowing out to him?
Yeah, Marlon Brando married the one in 1935. That one, the Clark Gable thing?
Yeah.
Marlon Brando married her.
Oh, that became his real wife?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Movita, I think her name was, and they bought he bought an island out there and everything, and he was living like Robinson Crusoe.
I like the bounty from the mid-80s with Mel Gibson and Anthony Hopkins.
1935 version.
I know. It's good. Nothing
Victor
wrong with
Fleming,
it.
Three Best Actor nominations, which is what led to Best Supporting Actor being a category.
Now, I got a cool one for you next. Do you have anything before 1905? Okay, in 1905, the world's largest diamond ever is found. The Cullinan. Weighing 3,106.75
carats. Which one's got the, is it the Hope diamond that's cursed?
Yeah,
Hope is cursed.
Hope is cursed.
Okay, then I'll take this one if somebody gives it to me.
Now, it's founded at the Premier Mine near Pretoria in South Africa. So this rock, is that correct? It's a rock.
Well,
a diamond is technically a rock, right? Or is it mineral?
Could be both.
Okay, it's founded.
A hunk of carbon is what it is.
Yeah, compressed, obviously.
Yeah.
Founded by a miner. Now, the guy who finds it is Thomas Evan Powell, and he brings it up to the surface, gives it to his manager. Now, this.
Dumb shit. Put it in your pocket and go.
Walk
home.
Away. No yeah. one's watching. It's nearly 4 inches long, 2.25 inches high, and 2.58 inches wide. It's roughly the size of a baseball.
It's a big diamond.
That is incredible.
3,000 carats. Holy
so
shit.
So here's the thing. It's suspected by geologists that it's only about half of what was a bigger rock that was broken up by natural causes over the course of, well, millennia, eons.
Ah.
Even further. What's bigger than an eon?
Let's see. How's it go? I used to know that. It goes era. Is it eras first? Era, then period, then eon, then age. Well, I don't know, I got to look that up. I used to have a – I'm going to get that for everybody because I used to have a mnemonic for that.
Okay. You did. Very
yeah,
good.
So you can remember it.
So
yeah.
No, the other –
I forgot the mnemonic.
The suspected other half of this rock is yet to be found.
Let's go – I don't want to go South Africa either.
That's incredible to me.
Let's go
now,
to Vegas.
So
hell with it.
The South Africans, in their wisdom – now, this is the Transvaal – colony
yeah.
at
yeah,
this
well,
point.
The Boer War was
and,
over.
And Prime Minister Botha?
Yeah, Peter Botha.
Uh-huh. I don't know if it was Peter, though.
I think, well, who else is there?
Well, there was,
what other Botha is there?
There were other Bothas, but I don't know. It was Prime Minister Botha. We know that. They decide to, let's present this thing to King Edward VII.
Yeah, right. They gave it to the British, yeah.
Why?
Why? Because they don't want to get... They don't want Captain Bligh down there.
Well,
they're
going to
send somebody down there. And
it's still 1905. Bligh's
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, the Boer War.
So, but King Edward VII, he needs to be persuaded to accept this gift.
He's kind of stupid.
Now,
too.
You're going to love this next one.
King Edward VII was too busy banging women. He had a lot of mistresses. So
King Edward VII.
He probably gave the diamond and some nylons to a hooker. And
persuaded. By who?
Whom?
Whom. To yeah, take, this,
using the
take this diamond.
Well, yeah, not his mistress. Let's
nope.
see. Nobody
nope.
else is alive.
Nope.
Give me a hint.
It's one of your favorites in England.
One of my, not Churchill.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he'd take it. He wouldn't turn anything down.
Now, here's a great story. How they got this stone to England. Now, they send it uncut. They're going to cut it. You know, they're going to have the Dutch come in and cut it. And the Star of Africa is the result. That's part of the crown jewels today.
Lapidary.
And there's the Lesser Star of Africa. And there's 9 major gems that
the
come
crown
from
jewels,
this rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So to get it to England, they stage a diversion where they, you know, have a package and it's covered by armed guard and it goes to a steamer and it's put in a safe on
that
a steamer.
Wasn't it, right?
And so the whole big thing. You know how they got it to England? Registered mail, parcel post.
Okay. Well,
regular brown box, wrapped. Give us a receipt when it gets there, and they mailed it.
Well, that's
look at how many people touched the largest diamond in the world, not even knowing it.
That's your great.
That's a fabulous story.
That's your great official.
Another myth surrounding this one is that when they went to cleave it, that the cleaver. From one of the famous Dutch houses,
of course,
you know,
yeah,
diamond
De Beers
houses
or somebody. Yeah,
that when he goes to strike it, he just faints.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that story. He's so nervous.
The
yeah,
story is
it.
That
yeah.
unfortunately, it's a great story, but myth debunked.
Yeah.
And
they
do say on the first strike, the knife that they used,
well, the chisel,
they call it very sharp.
Because
where they cleaved it. They cleaved it right through an imperfection.
Oh.
So the two big parcels have an imperfection on each. They probably did break the knife. But the guy who did it never fainted.
Okay.
I like the
story.
I think
we shed enough light on
it. It's pretty cool, man.
I thought we'd just gloss over that.
Now, in 1926, the event that changes the world.
I got something better than that. All right, I got
live
in between here.
I'm coming back to that
1918, Herbert Hoover, my
yes.
favorite jerk. Here's where he won the war for us. World War I declares wheatless Wednesdays and meatless Mondays and all that crap.
Yep.
And this was the beginning of him thinking he could whip everything. And so he's in charge of U.S. Food Administration
mm-hmm.
for the war.
So we had meatless
Monday and
wheatless Wednesday. Oh, he's
yeah.
going for the alliteration.
Yes.
Oh, how clever.
Yeah. Well, Herbert Hoover. So
So do we have tobacco-less Thursday and fish-free Friday going against the church?
Yeah, sexless Sunday.
Well, that's a given.
All right. Not in my house.
Well, maybe not. 1911, Glenn H. Curtis, he flies the first...
Kitty Hawk.
Yeah.
B-40.
The first successful American seaplane. That's a big one. Just being able to use water as a runway and a landing strip. It's good.
Okay.
You land on a lake. It's fine. 1915, the Rocky Mountain National Park is established by the U.S. Congress. And today they're probably busy tweeting. 1920, the Ford Motor Company, a former executive of that by the name of Henry Leland, launches the Lincoln Motor Company.
Well, I got a bigger one than that.
He does this in 1920, which he later sells back to his former employee, Henry Ford, employer Henry Ford, and you get Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury.
That same day, Modigliani, who we've talked
about. Yeah, we talked about on the previous show.
His mistress defenestrated herself.
No.
Yeah. I don't know what they got. I guess they got an argument or something. I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
Defenestration means she jumped out of a window.
There's a technical term for jumping out of a window?
Defenestration.
Huh.
Yeah, the defenestration of Prague, although they were thrown out.
That's a little different.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
A term for jumping out of a window. Scientific. What if you just, fall out of a window?
You're still defenestrated.
You're still defenestrated.
I think that qualifies.
Oh. I didn't know there's a term for that. Again, 1926, a date I'll come back to. 1945, Armand, I like this one. Audie Murphy displays valor and bravery in action for which he will later be awarded the Medal of Honor.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you probably know Murphy's film career pretty well.
He's not a very good actor.
No, but it is what it is.
Stiff.
It is what it is, right?
Yeah. No, he's a hero, though, big time.
So, without going through the whole Murphy sort of back catalog, here's what happened on this date. Now, this action was at the Colmar Pocket in France. And Murphy has rejoined his platoon after having a previous wound, which I think was in his foot. So he had gotten a Purple Star already. And he had been decorated. You know, he had kind of been racking up some kills. And I know you don't like war.
Well, yeah, but if you're going to do it, win it.
He played to win, Audie did. On the day, on this day, the Germans, they score a direct hit on an American M1 tank destroyer. And now Murphy, who had been named company commander upon his return, he tells all his men, get to the woods. Murphy goes to the destroyed tank destroyer, gets up, and the 50 cal is still in operation. As the Germans move forward, he uses it. And he scores an estimated 50 killed or wounded as he held off a German advance.
That's the stuff legends are made of.
That is incredible.
Okay. Way to go, Audie.
I mean, his decorations are amazing.
Yeah, Armand.
If you take a look at them, man. I mean, they are just amazing.
Just watch To Hell and Back.
Yeah, and that's like about 10 years later, right?
Yeah.
But he fought all over. I mean, Africa, Italy, France.
Campaign, yeah.
He was in it all. He's got campaign badges, medals.
Badges? Not to show you no stinking badges.
He certainly didn't. Now, right. 1949, this one is for you. The Hale Telescope at the Palomar Observatory, it sees first light under the direction of Edward Hubble.
Edwin Hubble.
And that becomes the largest aperture optical telescope until the BTA-6 is built in 1976. And, of course, we have the Hubble today.
Yeah, right. I can't wait for the big one.
The next James
Webb.
That's going to be the game changer, isn't it?
Well, planet finding and stuff.
Come on. They're going to discover something with this next one, aren't they?
I doubt it.
Well, they're going to discover.
Government, it's NASA. They're incompetent. Come on. What are they going to discover? They're stupid.
Well, they've discovered a lot. Come on. They're going to see something.
They haven't discovered that global warming's a hoax yet.
Okay.
Discover
that. All right. Now moving on. 1960.
Put your foot in that sand.
John F. Kennedy appoints Janet Travell to be his physician. This is the first time a woman.
I think he banged her.
Well, that's where I'm going.
If he's going to get a physical, he's going to get it from abroad.
Right.
John F.
We better get a picture of Janet Travell.
Well, he was a pretty sick man.
He had a
Addison's disease.
Addison's disease.
Yeah, the adrenal gland is shriveled up.
His back was in horrible condition.
Well, that's what killed him probably.
And because of wearing the brace in the limousine.
I just saw Jackie.
Yeah. Boring. The movie?
Long and boring.
Long and boring.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Not terribly written, but wow.
1992, Boris Yeltsin announces that Russia will stop targeting U.S. cities with nuclear weapons.
I wouldn't count on that.
Yeah. How did he know?
Yeah. Like, he was drunk anyway.
Somebody. If they weren't targeting U.S. cities, where were they targeting?
Somebody gave him a bottle of vodka and told him to make a speech.
And in 1998, the Monica Lewinsky scandal. I'm sure you're a fan of this one.
Wait a minute. Now. I'd like to do my Bill Clinton. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Monica Lewinsky.
America, I don't think you heard me.
I feel your pain. But I did not have sexual relations with that.
Remember when they debated what the meaning of is?
Yeah, right. That's Bill. Hey, listen, here again. I don't really mind what he did. I think it's pretty stupid.
Just don't lie.
Stupid and crass.
Yes,
yeah,
it
he just
is.
Said, listen, none
just
of your
lie.
Fucking business. Stay out of my life. That's all. Yeah. He had the cover up again.
So it was on this date, the 26th of January, that Clinton denies having had, quote, unquote, sexual relations with former White House intern
pretty big one
Monica Lewinsky.
That you just passed over.
All right.
1988, Phantom of the Opera opens.
In London?
At the Majestic Theater.
In the West End?
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew Lloyd Webber.
That's correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. 10,000 performances, 1912. I mean, 2012.
I did not see it at the Majestic. I saw it at the Her Majesty's or His Majesty's, where it had moved to by the time I got there, which was about 4 years later.
You want to guess what the receipts on that thing are?
Oh, we paid a lot for our ticket. I remember that. In like 1991 or 1992 dollars, Armand, it was like a 55 or 60 pound ticket.
All right.
And that's 25 years ago.
$5.6
billion. All I remember from it is I got to we had very nice seats too, fourth row center. And we had been on a tour all day, like at Windsor Castle.
Yeah.
This is a school trip.
Right.
English history class from university. Been on a school.
Keep it brief.
Yeah. And a whole Windsor Castle thing. I'm exhausted. Get to the room. We have to get dressed up, of course, to go, you know. And the thing opens. The chandelier's right over my head and everything.
Really? Sort of damaged.
About halfway through it, I just fall dead asleep.
Oh.
I wake up in time for the chandelier coming down. Saw that bit of action. Nah, I don't really remember much.
Okay.
It was warm. It was comfortable. The seats were nice and plush and velvety. And I was out.
All I remember about that, I've never seen it perform, although I like Michael Crawford. I think he was really good.
I don't remember who we saw in the. It was not Michael Crawford, though.
Yeah.
He was
really good.
They were on to the next.
I had that cassette.
Something. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
And I saw it in St. Louis later and saw it for the whole. And
all right.
Started
to Let's
put
get
it
to
together.
The big birthday of the day here.
Yeah, we got a couple.
Two.
There's
yeah.
a couple
the
nice
first
birthdays.
First two are the only ones I really.
Well, we got 1880.
Oh, we got a couple.
Douglas MacArthur, the general, the American general, Medal of Honor recipient. He's born.
Yeah.
Cornpipe. Do you think he was born with a cornpipe in his
well, you
mouth?
You know where they make that, don't you?
They make it in Missouri, don't
Washington,
they?
Missouri. Yeah.
Washington, Missouri.
The Missouri Meerschaum.
The Missouri Meerschaum.
Meerschaum, I guess.
Meerschaum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they made it to his specifications, apparently. And they're still making them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I need to get one.
Truman met at Wake Island. They weren't conducting the Korean War. They hated each other.
They weren't having
it. Apparently, MacArthur shows up in a standard uniform, not even a dress uniform, with a stained hat. And boy, Truman was pissed. He didn't like him. And then, he said, let's bomb the shit out of communist China and use Taiwanese soldiers, which I really didn't think that was a problem, the nationalist Chinese. But then, Bradley put his big mouth into it. Wrong war, wrong place, wrong time, with the wrong enemy.
Yep.
And Truman gave him a dressing down and eventually kicked
Fired
him out. Who replaced him?
Oh, I don't remember. Westmoreland? No, that's till later, right? Westmoreland was in charge during
Ridgway.
Vietnam. Ridgway?
Matthew Ridgway, I believe.
1891, another big general and boss born, Frank Costello.
The prime minister.
That was his nickname?
Yeah. He's the prime minister, dude. You're not the boss. Yeah.
Now, was Frank head of the five families at any point?
Well, the Luciano family.
The Luciano family.
Yeah. I mean, okay. He took over when Lucky got deported. He took over in 1936. And yeah. He's famous, the Kefauver hearings where you just see his hands. That's Frank Costello. Yeah, because they said they wouldn't take, they would not show
his face. Yeah.
So they show his hands.
1893, another gangster born, Giuseppe Jinko Russo.
Jinko olive oil?
Jinko.
Godfather?
Yeah, this is exactly where I'm going to add, this is where it came from, right?
I guess, yeah.
Jinko was a direct lift from
Frank
this.
Costello's, I think Costello's probably the basis for...
For Vito?
Yeah, Vito Corleone, yeah. Sure.
1918, Nicolae Ceaușescu is born.
They shot him real good.
Well, they
and his wife.
Shot on Christmas Day, no less.
Yeah.
1989. I remember that so distinctly.
We talked about him in the Securitate, secret police. Nice guy.
Now, here's a nice birthday.
Much misunderstood.
1925, Paul Newman's born.
All right, I'm not going to go too much. I like Paul Newman.
Now, what's your favorite Newman flick?
HUD.
With the cattle?
Oh, yeah. Melvin Douglas.
You ever hear the Bill Cosby routine on HUD?
No.
Because they got the hoof and mouth disease.
Yeah, right.
And they're, right. Where are they going? Well, they're going to shoot us. Why are they going to shoot us?
Oh, he's beating the cattle.
We got the hoof and mouth disease. What's hoof and mouth disease? You see that white stuff around your mouth? Yeah, that's hoof and mouth disease.
Okay. Well, he had a... He also made Harper, and he had this thing about...
movies starting with H.
Yeah. Cool Hand Luke.
There's like six films that start with H. That
Hombre.
Hombre. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But none of those was when he won the Academy Award.
Color of Money.
Yeah. Which I think
Fast Eddie Thelson.
Yeah, he was a lot better in The Hustler, another H movie.
Yeah. I'll tell you my favorite Newman flick, by far, Absence of Malice. I thought he was tremendous.
I liked him in The Verdict.
The Verdict was very good, too. Very good. I got a Newman story for you. This is cool. Because he is, he's kind of a Renaissance guy as well. My neighbor, Ryan Mullen, appeared in a movie as an extra with Paul. And what's the wife? Joanne Woodward?
Joanne Woodward, sure.
It was a film, Mr. and Mrs. Bridge. And they filmed it in Kansas City. And he was sort of, you have extras that just show up. And then you have sort of like extended extras.
Yeah, day players.
And so he's on screen for probably 20 to 30 seconds.
Well, that's a pretty
and good. Actually does a little bit of.
Oh, okay. So he's more than
didn't have
he's
a line,
a day
though.
Player or something. Yeah.
Didn't have a line. But so he got to be around Newman. When I was doing radio, I had a motorsport show. Just donated to racing. Newman Haas was big, big IndyCar team. And we had an event. And I brought a friend of mine, Mike Claiborne, to the track. And what they would do, you ever see these ride-arounds that they would do, Armand, at a track? They put you in a car with somebody?
Yeah.
And this was a sports car, probably a Porsche something, sort of a SCCA car. And my buddy didn't know it, but I arranged it so when it came around, Paul would be the driver.
Oh.
He gets in the car, looks over. It's Cool Hand Luke sitting there.
Yeah.
He's like, hey. And Paul looks at Mike and goes, hey, how are you? You ever done this before? And Mike goes, no. And he goes, well, that's all right. Neither have I. And just drops the car into gear and tears right out as we were standing there, just tires squealing, rubber, everything.
I think, speaking of Bill Cosby, beautiful. They had like a, Cosby, and they were all racers too, right? They were like,
I don't know. Yeah, maybe Cosby. Now, Newman was
Steve
very
McQueen.
Good. Steve McQueen and Newman were legitimately good.
Yeah.
And they raced at Le Mans, and that
he's got that little, he's got that little shtick about the Shelby Cobra. Remember, it goes up to 200 on the speedometer, and it says, "Oh wow!" All right, because he wanted to get a faster car than McQueen. That's what he said. That's his, you never heard that one?
No.
Okay. Anyway, no. So I also like, of course, Slapshot. We got to do a whole show. Reg Dunlop.
Reg.
I don't like the way they covered their tits with those flowers, Reg. Yeah.
You guys are killing me.
Yeah.
These guys brought their toys.
As long as they're not playing with themselves. Not this bunch of pussies.
Oh, that's the PR guy.
Yeah.
What a fabulous.
Well, the same guy that said.
So good.
Same guy that said what we have. Now, there are two quotes there.
Yeah, what we have here is failure to communicate.
Right, well, now.
Cool Hand Luke.
Right, that's what he says. But when Cool Hand Luke says it at the end,
mm-hmm.
when he's making fun of him,
yeah.
he says, now what we have here is a failure to communicate. A failure. Yeah, so the one said failure to communicate.
And then the other says a
Strother
failure.
Martin.
Strother.
Yeah. Strother Marks said, what we have here is failure to communicate.
1935, Bob Uecker born. Now
he died, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he's kicking,
alive.
Baby.
Which
he's
one
kicking.
Died?
Right. Well, Ernie Harwell has passed away. We talked about him the other day. Bob Uecker, St. Louis Cardinal, got traded from the Cardinals, basically for making fun of the general manager on the bus on the way to a game. Didn't know the general manager was sitting in the front of the bus.
No, that'll get you.
Because he would do impressions of everybody. And I forget who the general manager was at the time. He also, great read on the baseball from that era, the 60s, is David Halberstam's book, October 1964.
I read his book, The 50s.
Okay, and it details the Cardinals and the Yankees facing each other in that October World Series. But it goes into detail about how the teams got there. And the Cardinals of that era were a pretty rambunctious group. Uecker had gone to the local precinct and gotten a bunch of mugshots of prostitutes. And they had a card game that they would play. And they had one just giant, like, toothless whale that was like the trump card of all trump cards.
Oh, the old maid.
Right, okay. But what he would do is he kept these in his wallet and he'd say, hey, you want to, you know, let me show you a picture of my wife to an unsuspecting person. And he'd pull it out and
that's Uecker.
Show it to him. And
what a sense of humor. What a card. Okay, Bob.
But check out October 1964. David Halberstam. It's a great read. There's great Uecker stories in it. And you can find it at Amazon.com.
Who was the guy that was, I mean, Uecker always kind of, you know, it's just shtick that he was lousy. He wasn't that bad, though, was he?
No, he's a backup catcher.
Yeah,
he was backup to Tim McCarver
who's
at that
guy?
Time.
Remember Marv Throneberry?
Mm.
He did those Miller Lite commercials. You used to have to trade seven Carl Farillas or seven Marv Throneberry to get one
Carl Farilla.
All right. What happened to him? Marv Throneberry. Anyway, lousy ball players.
Good.
We got a kind of lousy actor next.
Scott Glenn, 1941. One of my favorite character actors.
Okay, if you
I
say
love
so.
Him.
Although he was
good cut from Apocalypse Now. Did you know that? But he's in the redo.
Right. I liked him in Training Day.
I liked him in Training Day, and I liked him in The Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, he's
he is the captain. He's the captain of the Los Angeles.
Scott Glenn, yeah.
All right. Also, a guy I wish that would be hung, drawn, and quartered, Jack Warner. From Trinidad.
Warner.
No, this man has ruined soccer in our hemisphere. He's awful. This man.
Oh, come on.
Draw and quarter him. 1944, Angela Davis.
Draw and quarter
Shut
her
up.
Next to him. Right, okay.
1946, Gene
Siskel. She's one of the good ones,
Did you like Siskel as a movie
I did. I liked
him
better than Ebert, actually.
Passed away too young.
Ebert was a little too. I think he was a little too forgiving. In fact, I'm reading his book, The Great Movies. I got that on my Kindle.
Oh, you do? Oh, good.
You know, and I like him. And
we're fraternity brothers, Ebert and I.
Oh, okay. Well, did you see his movie Beyond the Valley of the Dixons? Beyond the Valley of the Dolls?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not very well written.
No.
Anyway, but I liked Siskel better. I agreed with his opinion more.
Yeah, he was less forgiving.
Yeah.
He would call
I
it
liked
out.
Him, yeah.
1949, David Strathairn, American actor.
Very
good actor.
Not a diphthong.
Yeah. 1955.
He was Eddie Cicotti, right?
Yes.
Eight Men Out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 1955, this big one.
He's
Dutch composer, classically trained. Hold on.
Look at that one again. Yeah.
No, I'm serious. I'm dead serious. Classically trained by a pianist in Pasadena, California, after they immigrated to the United States. He and his brother would later form a band in elementary school.
All right. The suspense is killing
me. They would play at lunch. And then they eventually hired the guy that they rented the PA from to become their lead singer. Happy birthday, Edward Van Halen.
Yeah. He's not married to what's her name anymore.
He used to be married to Valerie Bertinelli, who they had a son with, Wolfgang.
Yeah. Wolfgang. Good name.
No, I'm serious. That's his name. And,
I know.
And Wolfgang
I like that
is now the bass player that tours
but
with Van Halen.
Right?
They are divorced.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think they're okay. And of course, Eddie's battled cancer for quite a long time. But he's doing okay.
All right.
And I've seen him, I don't know how many times.
Shows remarkable longevity for a rock. You know, what is he, 62?
62 years old today. Nice. Edward Van Halen.
Right, yeah, I like it. I like Jump. I like that one. That's my favorite Van Halen song.
You got to like the good. I have a Happy Birthday tribute up
for Eddie.
And I like David Lee Roth. I was never much with Montrose.
I wasn't either with Roth.
No, but they got into fights and stuff, right?
They're just a old bickering married couple.
That's
what
cool.
they are.
Yeah, that's what rock and roll's all about.
They're like Richards
baby.
And Jagger.
But no, Paige and Plant didn't fight, did they?
I don't think so much. I just think Robert can't do that anymore.
Okay.
Jimmy can.
Yeah.
In terms of playing.
Well,
But the other thing, they don't need to. They're like ABBA.
David Lee Roth's kind of got a ego problem.
Kind of? Just a little bit.
Hey, listen, if I were David Lee Roth.
So does Eddie, though. They all do.
Okay. Yeah.
I think his brother Alex is probably one of the biggest jack-offs ever.
Okay.
But, yeah, again, look, get together, do your thing, do it well.
Yeah, man.
And they did.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll, man.
They did, man. 1958, Ellen DeGeneres born.
Yeah.
1961, The Great One. Now, I know a bunch of older people who say, no, this is not The Great One. The Great One, if you refer to The Great One,
Gordie
means Jackie Gleason.
Jackie. Yeah, right. That's right. That's what he's called. Yeah.
But Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, now we call him.
Born on this date.
Now, let's see. Now, he went Edmonton, L.A., St. Louis.
Nope, you missed one.
What, not in that
His
order?
His first team.
What, in the NHL?
No, not in the
NHL.
Oh,
yeah, I'm talking
about. And I don't mean minor league. I mean, he was an Indianapolis racer.
Okay. What?
WHA.
Oh, okay. WHA.
Short-lived.
Okay.
Not one of the teams that got merged in. Went to Edmonton. The big trade in 88 to Los Angeles.
Right.
Bruce McNall.
And he came here for like, what,
came here
2 months?
And Mike Keenan ruined the situation so badly that he opted for free agency to get out of St. Louis.
Went to the Rangers.
And finished his career with the New York Rangers.
Okay. Yeah, best of all time. No doubt about that.
The debate is only between he and one other player.
Well, Gordie Howe?
Bobby Orr.
I think he's better than Bobby Orr.
Well, Bobby Orr's a defenseman, so
yeah,
the stats
don't compare him. Yeah.
Well, but he prevented goals.
Yeah.
And there's no stat for how many goals you prevented because it's unknowable. But trust me, having produced for Joe Micheletti, Rob Ramage, all sorts of hockey guys in radio days, they will fight about it.
Okay. They like Bobby Orr?
They like them both, but there's a amongst older hockey aficionados and players.
Okay.
There is an Orr Gretzky.
Old-time hockey?
Old-time. Toe Blake.
Yeah. Fuck. Piss on Eddie Shore.
Orr.
Piss on old-time hockey.
All right.
We're in our slap shot mode.
Now man. I go back
right,
to the one
big,
event.
Your big – let's get out of here.
You don't want to –
It's getting tedious.
Oh, come.
Took 30 minutes on the Cullinan.
It's worth it. It's interesting.
Not that interesting.
On this date,
okay.
1926.
This is your momentous.
Yes, it's
event.
Huge. The first demonstration of the television by John Logie Baird
now
is conducted.
Now, that's the name of an inventor. You want to talk about
John Logie Baird?
Yeah,
app
that's names.
Good.
There you go.
That's good. Now, it's not even called the television. In 26, they call it the televisor.
Well, you know, who was it that said... Because television is half Latin, half Greek. I'll have nothing to do with this. Somebody said that.
So the Times of London,
poorly named.
A couple days later. So for the purposes of the demonstration, they have the head of a ventriloquist doll being manipulated so that image can be transmitted. And they say, you know what? That's not good enough. Baird calls up his assistant, okay, to come in and sit there while they do this. And his assistant, Oliver Hutchison, really represents the closest approximation of a human being to appear on television. And there's a picture of his face, and it's in grayscale, and it's not very clear, but you can see it's a human being.
Okay.
And this happened.
That's close.
1926. Yeah. 2 years later, the guy
was
doing... No,
26. That's right.
2 years later, the guy had already had a demonstration for color.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Amazing. That's the game changer, buddy. Television.
All right.
Television change. Do you come on.
Come on. I don't
you don't watch much
Hubble's
television, do
I
you?
I think the Hale telescope, I think, is better.
Oh, television, by far.
The Lewinsky scandal? I don't know.
No, well, that was made for television, though. That was good TV.
I did not.
As Dave Chappelle said,
I did
the
not.
News ain't ever been this sexy.
I do not agree with you. All right. Okay. Let's get to the deaths.
Who died?
We die.
Who died? Nicholas Otto, the German engineer and the inventor of the internal combustion engine.
Okay. Well, that's bigger than Baird right there. Okay.
But
other people were doing this stuff with Baird. Baird was not the only guy.
He wasn't the only guy, right. But he got the demonstration going.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
All right.
All right. Now we have a myth coming up.
Now,
do it quickly.
Why? Because you got some place to be.
I got
to
do Ocho Man.
Dude. We're fine.
We're
relax, Armand.
I got to do my script.
Patience. Now, Abner Doubleday, he passes away on this date in 1893. Now, everyone knows Abner Doubleday about baseball. Where you should know him from, though, is the Battle of Gettysburg. Specifically, the first day of Gettysburg, July the 1st, 1863. His immediate commander is Fell. Doubleday takes over and does very well at Gettysburg. But baseball is how
everyone... And it's also a myth he fired the first shot of the Civil War.
That's a myth as
well. That's the one I've heard. You know, he fired on Fort Sumter.
Now, since this is about his death, in his obituary, in his personal letters, and in his personal papers, there's no mention that he had anything to do or he considered himself to have any prominent role in the game of baseball.
Well, that's where he didn't, really.
Because he didn't.
Yeah.
So the myth of old Abner, which has been debunked... time and time
fame,
again, but legends are so strong, Armand, and the result of what it was the Mills Commission to determine the origins of the game, and the Mills Commission itself been completely debunked. Their chief sort of testimonial guy is found just to be an idiot and basically a lunatic. They credited
him
on
your radio show.
They credited him with the founding of it, and the legend was so strong that. That's why you have the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. Now, Cooperstown and Doubleday are connected. He did go to school there.
Okay.
He went to a preparatory high school there where he certainly played games like baseball.
Rounders,
whatever. Yeah, exactly. And the New York rules of baseball, because baseball is, look, it was founded, codified in New York and in New Jersey, technically. We know that. That's why there was New York rules for the sport that got transmitted all over the nation. But basically, he's living with his aunt and uncle and just going to a preparatory school there. And that's the tie.
Okay.
They get a guy to say...
You know the saying, when the legend becomes fact,
print
the legend.
Print the legend. And that's what they've done.
Okay, good. All right, here's another legend coming
up. Oh, this is a legend. Armand.
We've gone over this
1862.
Guy. 1862.
At length, yeah. Lucky Luciano.
Frank Costello's buddy, yeah. Yeah.
Passed away.
Yeah, in fact, you know, we forgot to say, Frank Costello retired after Vincent the Chin Gigante tried to hit him.
The Chin?
Yeah, the Chin put a contract out on him. And anyway, yeah, lucky he got deported in 1936.
To Sicily, right?
First.
But he helped the U.S. from Sicily.
That's why he's hoping he could come back.
And wasn't all the things that he did, isn't that the reason that there was this statehood for Sicily movement at one time?
Well, I don't know what he had to do with that. But.
No, look it up. There was serious talk about putting Sicily in as part of the United States. Can you imagine that?
I'll take it.
Smack in the middle of the Mediterranean?
What a Palermo.
Oh, baby. 1973. Now, Armand, around their office, takes a lot of grief for this
Emmanuel Goldenberg.
Edward G. Robinson.
Yeah, yeah.
It passes away.
Yeah, did we tell the story about him and Charlton Heston? They were very good friends. They made they made Ten Commandments together. Where he's Moses. See,
who's
Moses?
Where's your Messiah now?
Yeah, this Moses a mug. Yeah. So anyway, they're very.
Is that
good
the
friends.
Way he really talked off camera?
Yeah, yeah.
Why? What kind of affectation is that?
No. He's very cultured art collector
good,
into music.
Good.
I read his autobiography.
Good.
Yeah, very well written,
right,
well spoken guy. So anyway, that's his voice. We didn't say mug. I didn't call it you guys.
You take so much shtick around this office because whenever Armand, folks, also doubles as a screenwriter, and he has a tendency to write.
Yeah.
When you read it, it sounds
Pitter-pat,
everything sounds like Edward G. Robinson would be reading.
Well, I love
it.
The guy. Anyway,
and I see him walking down the hall. See,
yeah,
I'm the chief of this hall.
I'm
you get up.
See. So anyway, Edward G. Robinson, Charlton Heston are very good friends. They make Soylent Green together in '73.
It's people.
Yeah, but then I just gave away the end. Thanks.
Oh, sorry. Spoiler on Soylent Green.
Spoiler alert. Anyway, these guys, Edward G. Robinson, well, to give you, since you gave it away already, Edward G. Robinson, they have this euthanasia place.
Cause yeah.
You know, he finds this out and he just can't deal with it.
Right.
Well, the scene they shoot, Charlton Heston comes just as he's taking the hemlock or whatever the hell they give him to kill him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they do that scene together, and it's, I'll tell you what, you'll cry when you watch that scene because Edward G. Robinson had cancer, and they knew he was going to be dead.
Aww.
And 2 weeks later, he was.
Yeah.
And you can tell these two guys were doing this scene as if it was really, this is the end. It's just
that
great.
Is touching.
Yeah,
man.
It's great. Soylent Green, yep.
All right, Nelson Rockefeller passed away in 1979. Yeah. No, I never realized he passed away so closely
after his term as vice president
finished, which would have finished in January of 77.
Well, you know who his I don't have any problem with Nelson Rockefeller, you know, even though you know they got his family got us
sure.
and stuff. But the guy I really hate is his grandfather, Nelson Aldridge.
Nelson
father
Aldridge?
Of the Federal Reserve.
Oh.
Let him rot in hell.
Well, again.
Nelson Aldridge. I hate that guy.
The book is called The Monster of Jekyll Island.
Great book, yeah.
Amazon.com.
Yeah, you'll get pissed off.
Audibletrial.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. We will always reference The Monster of Jekyll Island.
That again. It's been a while.
We may have to just do a show on Jekyll Island specifically.
I don't know if I can. Not good for my
blood. Well, it's kind of a horror. I mean, look, it's kind of a horror story.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well,
when you read about, and it's not, this is not about monsters, folks. This is about the creation of the Federal Reserve at Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia.
By a bunch of financiers, yeah, that took over the economy.
1983, anyway. Bear Bryant passed away. Legendary football coach. Yeah. Nick Saban is chasing him for those national titles. Almost got there this year.
Yeah, that's
but
good.
I don't want to go into all Bears accomplishments. No. They're fantastic. I will tell you this, though, in terms of social impact, go and watch the documentary Against the Tide, where Bear Bryant realized he needed to integrate the Southeastern Conference.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well,
and this is 1970. And he's like, you know, we are going to lose any advantage we have if we cannot get integration into this conference.
Well,
so you know what they did? He calls up John Robinson at University of Southern California.
John Robinson. His wife was Armenian, by the way.
Was she? Did you ever meet them? I know you're a Bruin. He's a Trojan, but still,
right?
You got LA ties.
Yeah, that was before that.
Okay,
in the 70s.
Yeah. Says, will you come and play us? Now, this is the team of not O.J. Simpson, but right after O.J. This is USC in its glory days.
This is a team with no murderers on it.
No, they're well, not at that time.
Yeah.
Yet.
This is the good O.J. Went to the dark side.
But O.J.'s not even on this team in 1970. They come to Alabama and just put a whipping on the Tide. And that loss, which Bear Bryant knew, they would get beat, and they would get beat by African-American players.
So he thought that would.
And almost immediately, the boosters were like,
yeah,
we got to get some of those guys.
More than we hate blacks. Yeah.
And it was integral. And the documentary is called Against the Tide. Look for it on Amazon.com. Go to This Day in Podcast History, This Day in History Podcast.
All right,
Look for the Amazon banner. Some shopping. And I seriously want you to watch Against the Tide.
Okay.
Jose Ferrer died in 1992. You know, his son just passed away,
Miguel,
too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, they look alike, too.
They
you
sure
know?
Did.
They sure look alike. What did he win his Academy Award?
Cyrano.
Very good.
Yeah.
He was also good in Lawrence of Arabia, where he played the gay Turk.
Oh, that's
like,
him.
You have very light skin. Yeah, remember that? I mean, they tried to.
I didn't realize that was him.
Tried to make it as subtle as possible.
But it's pretty.
Like,
yeah.
Yes, your skin is very light and supple.
Okay, it's amazing to me all the old Hollywood codes that audiences will never pick up today,
but apparently audiences
in the 30s and 40s would immediately recognize what it meant.
Yeah, we talked about George Cukor.
Oh, it's fabulous. You know, okay,
he was like one of the few openly gay guys. Yeah.
2001. Al McGuire passed away.
Uh-huh.
2007. Speaking of old time hocky, Gump Worsley.
Piss
passed
on
away.
Gump Worsley.
I completely forgot he was on the list today.
That's just a coincidence.
Came up naturally. Yeah. And finally,
all right. The fifth time he died, right?
I think so.
But
Tom,
I guess we can say
Tom
For old time's sake.
Yeah. Can't do it, Sally.
Can't do it, Sal. Can't do it.
I think he's
let Michael know.
Fish.
It was nothing personal.
It's all business.
It's all business.
So's this.
Abe Vigoda, may he rest in peace. He died many times, but he actually died.
But they never did make it clear that that's what they were setting him up to do. That's what Brando said, it was an assassination. But, you know, I think maybe they should obligatory have the scene. I mean, I'm you know what I mean?
You debate whether they killed Sal?
No, I debate whether they're setting Michael up for an assassination.
Oh.
Was the meeting legit? Or were they going to knock him off? He really didn't, you know, because you don't see a scene where Barzini's.
I take your point.
Yeah, the and father that, just said that.
There's a bit of a plot hole there.
Right. So I don't know if they read. I've read the script and I've read. You know, I guess I read the book. I guess I haven't read the book. But, you know, the question
maybe
is.
The way the, maybe the way the film's edited leads you to
but
that.
But it wasn't. I mean, they made the Godfather thing, the box set that you watch for 17 hours straight. You know?
Oh, the chronological
right,
one, too.
Right.
Yeah, and it doesn't get resolved there either.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
So they never filmed it.
So the question is, maybe it was legit, although you have to assume it was an assassination.
Yeah.
But Brand, all you have for that is his father's word.
Yeah.
Whoever sets this up is a traitor. How the fuck did he know? He's an old man with
okay, that's
with an
I've always wondered
teeth.
About.
Yeah.
Whoever comes and for Sal to do so right at the graveside in the funeral scene.
Yeah.
Always seemed odd to me.
Much? I don't know.
That he would.
I always thought it'd be Clemenza.
Oh.
It's a smart move.
Abe Vigoda. That's weird, though.
Tessio was always a smart one.
To go from The Godfather to Barney Miller.
Yeah. And that, Benby's pretty funny.
Well, he had his own show. Remember Fish?
It's amazing how young he was and how he looked like he was ready to drop dead at any moment.
I swear to God, Armand, from 1972 to his death, I think he looked exactly the same.
But remember, whoever approaches you with this. Is a traitor.
Yeah,
you'd be assassinated.
Man, he didn't have the orange between his teeth.
I want this for you.
You know, who wrote that scene. It wasn't Coppola. I think John Milius wrote that scene.
Milius wrote a lot of that. Milius wrote a lot of Apocalypse Now too.
That one. So yeah, well, Milius, yeah, he did. I think he got the credit
did the
for
whole
that,
thing
didn't he?
Essentially.
He got the credit for that.
Yeah, because he just adapted the Conrad novel. Because that's all adapted
the
off
Heart
of Dark, Heart of Darkness.
Heart of Darkness. Yeah.
All right, yeah, Abe Vigoda, rest in peace. Eddie Van Halen, happy birthday. The world that you live in today affected the most
on
this day.
And you know what you
are? You're a grocery boy sent by clerks.
You're an errand boy sent by clerks to deliver a bill.
To collect the bill.
You just went to Colonel Kurtz on me.
We're doing Marlon Brando. We got to get the hell out of here.
That's a wrap.
I feel your pain.
That's it. Bill Clinton, Marlon Brando.
Imitations on this.
Thanks for joining the show today. When January 27th rolls around here on Lineup Media FM, we'll be here to tell you about it on This Day in History.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.